Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Love in the Fight Marriage Podcast. My name is Dawn, and I'm sitting here with my husband and my co-host, Travis.
Yeah, we're so glad that you guys are joining us. It's good to be here with you, Dawn, and just to have a chance to connect with everyone who's listening. We think it's so special that you guys have tuned in, but also to talk about marriage.
Right.
One of the easiest relationships in the world, and one of the toughest.
Absolutely one of the most difficult.
Relationships in the world. Why did you look at me that way when you said that? I'm totally kidding, totally kidding. But it is tough. I'm tough sometimes. You're tough. But man, is it good to really think through, oh, wow, what could our marriage need? And how can we implement that and really make things get better?
And at the end of the day, we just want to remind you and ourselves to keep loving the fight.
Oh, man. Keep it up. Keep loving it and keep fighting.
Right. Yeah. Don't give up. Today is an extra good day because today we woke up and we were feeling great.
Oh, my gosh.
So good. And the reason that we can say that is because last week on our days off, we woke up and we had 3 days off. We were so excited. And I woke up and I'm like, ooh, I don't feel so well.
Yeah, I think I felt like death.
It was not the greatest. I'm like, man, my stomach is hurting. I feel achy. I felt like we kind of had a fever. I'm like, I looked at you. I'm like, I don't feel good. And in that moment, you said you didn't feel good either. So that actually determined our next couple of days.
Yeah.
We laid low to the best of our ability because there were some things we had to do, but to the best of our ability, we laid low and just hung out, watched a lot of House Hunters. We love those shows on HGTV.
That was so fun.
Yeah. Took two different naps, actually, which was a lot for a day. And sure enough, that third day we woke up feeling much better. So today on our day off, it's so exciting to go. We feel great.
Like,
you can totally tell when you're sick versus when you're not sick. And I thank you, Jesus, for health. Like, I don't like to feel nauseous or sick.
Right, right. Yeah, waking up and getting a good workout in and eating a healthy breakfast and just feeling alive.
Oh, man.
Not feeling like somebody, you know, just stuck a knife in my stomach and twisted it.
It's weird because we never threw up. We never threw up. And maybe that would have been better, but I'm like, oh.
But things went south,
if you
know what I mean.
We didn't
throw up, but we went to the bathroom a lot, and that was pretty rough. But so glad that's behind us. Excuse the pun, but it's gone.
Yes, literally it is gone, which is great. And whatever virus or bug was in our stomach is gone as well. But it's cool because the third day we woke up and then we were able to go the following day and celebrate a birthday. Like, we went to a birthday party and it was so much fun. I love birthday parties.
Oh, it was great. And such a great turnout. Everybody was in a good mood. The decor was amazing.
We helped with the decor. Like, we helped, and it was our granddaughter's birthday, her first birthday. So we helped our daughter blow up this big balloon arch.
100 balloons. But we weren't the designers. We can't take credit.
No, we just had to use our air.
Yeah, but
to use our fingers to tie balloons. And she's incredible at designing
things. Yeah, it was beautiful. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it looked so good, but such a fun atmosphere. And they had a raging fire in their basement and just tons and tons of great food, like snack food and delicious sweets. And then, of course, the birthday cake, which was spectacular.
I love birthday parties. I love people. I love the energy. Man, I wish we could have a party every day. But we should just have one every day in our house, right?
We should.
Like, we're married. We're surviving. We should celebrate that every day.
A birthday party without the feeling of death.
Yes. And without getting older. I mean, every day we get older, but I wouldn't want to get a year older every day.
That's true. That would be intense.
No, yeah. would be.
In like a week, I'd be using a cane. That would be rough. Well, hey, guys, the title of this episode today is Two Powerful Marriage Stories That Just Might Make You Change the Way You Think About Your Marriage.
I love the title, but it's kind of long.
It's a mouthful.
But it's great.
Yeah.
I like what you're trying to say.
I think it's just, you should say two powerful marriage stories, but it did change the way that we think, or at least reinforced what we think and believe, and also gave us a slightly different perspective from two different people that we are not. We're not them. And they shared some really, really cool things.
And it happened about a week apart from each other. And I remember you shared your story with me and I shared my story with you. And I'm like, these are really powerful stories.
Really powerful.
Completely have to do with marriage. And we're like, we need to share these stories.
Yeah. And I think partly we wanted to share them was because there were those conversations where, the person's sharing, you know, their story, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, like a light bulb from God just gets flipped on, and you're like, no, I need to listen to this. This is a powerful moment. And so I think God was speaking to me, speaking to you, Don, but we also wanted to make sure we could share it with you guys. It's not necessarily our content. It's just an experience that we had. So basically two conversations. It started with me. I was talking to a lady about 2 weeks ago and just asking questions about her and her life and her husband and their marriage. And so I just said, hey, how long have you guys been married? And she said 38 years. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's a long time. I high-fived her. I'm like, way to go. Keep that up. You guys are doing great. But then she kind of, you know, got a little more vulnerable and told me a little bit more about their story, how they had gone through some ups and downs. And then she made this statement and it just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. She said, I don't want God to restore my marriage back to what it was like the first 10 years of our marriage when it was amazing. She said, no, I want God to give me a brand new one with my husband.
Wow. That's an amazing perspective.
It was so cool. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly the way that I would have thought anybody would have said it. Cause I was like, well, I thought, you know, having your marriage restored, you know, to the way that it was, you know,
is a positive thing. It's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But really what she was trying to communicate was she didn't want the old one restored. She wanted an even better a new one, one that would be way better than like the first 10 years of their marriage when things were going great. And I just thought, wow, that's so cool. And then we continued to talk and she said, yeah, people come up to me all the time, you know, 38 years of marriage, and I'll be talking to a friend who's a lady. And she said, you know, some of them will say, hey, you're lucky. You're still married. You're lucky. And she said, I look at them usually and I tell them there is no luck in marriage. It takes hard work to have a great marriage. There's no getting around that, she said. And I just love that. It's like she's really blunt and she just like, boom, this is what I believe. Yeah. And it's true. You know, some people who maybe aren't married any longer, you know, would look at somebody like her and I'd say, oh, you're just lucky. You're just lucky. Yeah. You just got the perfect husband, or you're the perfect wife, or the perfect marriage. And I just loved her candor, her honesty. She's like, nope, there's no luck involved at all. It's all hard work.
Why would you give the credit to a good marriage to luck?
I know.
Marriage takes time. Like, I want the credit. I don't want, you know, obviously God gets the credit, but I don't want luck to have the credit.
And that is so true. I mean, you know, she's just really wanting to say, hey, my marriage is in the best place it's ever been. I can't credit luck to it. So, these were moments that just really made me stop and think. And so some things that I learned from this conversation with this lady who was married to her husband for 38 years. These things that she said reminded me of truths that we all need to remember. And again, what did she say? She said, I don't want God to restore what I once had. I want a better one. Right, I want a new one. And so what did I learn? It made me realize again that we need to stop asking God for the wrong thing. What does that mean? It means we should be asking God to do a new thing every day, saying, God, give me a new marriage, a better marriage. Why ask God to restore something that is old and broken? I mean, it's a bad idea to ask God to restore something that just didn't measure up and was never quite as good as you would want it to be.
Especially, when in the Bible it says that God's mercies are new every morning. We get a new day. Why not ask for something new, even in our marriage, every single day?
Yeah. And I agree, Don, because that's who we can go to he's good for it. But in our culture, I mean, you know, basically we think that the only way to start over or get something new or better is to find another person.
Get rid of the old and bring in the new.
Oh, he wasn't what I wanted, or she didn't, you know, help me to have a good enough marriage, so I just need to start over. Well, that's not true. We sometimes just need to let the past die and start with the same person. And that's really what she was getting at.
Same person, yes.
Yes, something new, something better. And it also reminded me that we need to start believing God for something new, having that faith. And that was what she was and is continuing to do. And I could see this in her smile and I could hear it in her voice. And it's really what Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19, it's what the prophet is getting at when he's talking about a characteristic of God giving us new things. Here's what it says. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
Mm, that's an amazing verse.
It's incredible. God is doing a new thing. And the picture it gives us is that God is going to bring streams in a desert, in a wilderness.
Yep.
And so I just love that part. But again, what else did I learn from that conversation? She said there's no luck in marriage. And just some reminders, a perfect marriage is a facade. She's right.
Right. There is no perfect marriage.
It's not true.
At all.
It doesn't exist.
No.
Yeah. We hear from couples sometimes, they'll say, we never fight, you know, and that's great. But let's be honest, their marriage still isn't perfect. There's still flaws or issues somewhere, somehow.
They might just have more self-control, maybe aren't saying the things that they want to say. But honestly, I look at those and I'm like, is there communication there if you're never fighting?
Right. Yeah. Are they getting past some of the hurdles that they should have gotten past 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Other things that I learned, a marriage always takes work, lots of work. And when you have worked on it, you got to work on it some more,
right,
of course.
Yeah.
And of course, you have to make a choice that you won't give up. And that's what she's done. And that's what we're continuing to do. That's what you guys are doing that are listening. And you have to roll up your sleeves and actually do the work on yourself and your marriage to make it better. One of our favorite verses in the world, Ecclesiastes 4:5-6 says, fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. In other words, they do nothing, but better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. And so we don't want to be on those far extremes. You know, we want to be in that middle ground where we're content and we're working on ourselves and our marriage and we're not facing ruin.
Well, about a week after that you had that conversation with that lady, I met an elderly gentleman who had the most welcoming smile and presence. He was so kind. And we just began to chat for a little while. And he began to tell me about his wife. You see, he had been married for 67 years. And his wife just died about 2 months ago in his arms at his home. And he kind of began to unpack his story with his wife in the last 67 years. And he said now he sits at his kitchen table and he looks at her chair and that empty spot and just wishes that he could hear her voice again and eat with her. He misses her incredibly.
Oh,
it was just,
man. Wow.
The love that you could feel coming from him as he's talking about his wife and what he wished could happen still.
He cherished her and wishes he could have her back.
He did. Well, he went on to tell me that he'd been married for 67 years, but he jumped in as quick as possible. As quick as he said 67 years, he's like, not all good years, but they stayed together and they worked at it. They didn't give up. And he was so thankful that they never gave up because he was the one who was able to hold her when she died in his arms at their home.
Incredible.
Oh my gosh. He went on to say that he's so thankful for their faith in Jesus and that he knows that he's going to see her again one day in heaven when he passes. But man, just listening to his story and just seeing his eyes just full of love. And it just made me want to cry as he was just telling me his story.
I don't know how you didn't.
It was just crazy. One of those moments you just time stops and you're listening. And you're like, I can't believe he's sharing this with me. What an honor to hear his story, but that he was sharing that with me. Well, as I walked away from that conversation and I just began to think about his story, the part that jumped out to me the most in his story and in his life was when he said quickly, they weren't all good years, that they had to work on their marriage to make it for those 67 years.
I love that. Yeah. Like his honesty, his truthfulness, his like transparency and willing to say, we had 67 great years, but there wasn't perfection in every last one of them.
And he could have went on and just said, you know, hey, no, 67 years, they're amazing. They're awesome. But no, he was just honest that marriage takes work.
Exactly.
That marriage is hard. Well, there's a couple of things that I learned from just this gentleman and talking to him. The first thing is this, your spouse is irreplaceable. You know what? I could tell that his wife and this gentleman's wife was just a treasure to him. And I could tell by how he cared for her and loved her until the end. And that was so inspiring to me. He knows she was a treasure and he treated her like that. And honestly, sitting across the table at an empty chair, she's irreplaceable to him.
Oh, that's so hard to hear. But to know as well, you know, that he had 67 years where she sat in that chair.
Yeah.
And we don't want to take our spouses for granted because one day they will leave us or we will leave them. We all leave this earth.
Yeah. One day the chair will be empty. And hopefully for us, I'm hoping it's together. Hopefully we'll go at the same time, but we just never know. But I just put myself in his shoes and I'm like, I don't want to see an empty chair across from the table, but I know it will one day happen. Something else I learned as I was thinking about this gentleman's story was that perfect marriages don't finish well. Real ones do. He admitted that, you know, his marriage wasn't perfect and no marriage is perfect. I know we already said that before. And he could have just walked away, but he didn't.
No, they stuck with it.
No. And it's the real one. That's the one that finishes well. Like he was able to cross that finish line with her in that moment of marriage as she was taking her last breath. The last thing that I learned from him and just thinking through this whole story is giving up isn't an option in marriage. They didn't give up. In those hard times, 67 years of hard times, good years and bad years, they didn't give up. They fought for their marriage. And honestly, all the work that they put in that got them to the finish line at the end. Like we're running this race. We're trying to make it to the finish line. And I was able to see he made it to the finish line with her. And it came down to faith. Faith was just so important to them. Honestly, he said that one day he will see her in heaven. And he knew he gave a lot of that glory to God and just saying God's the one that helped him get through. But they're going to make it together
Even though
she's already there. He's going to be holding her hand one day in heaven.
Yeah, she's going to be waiting for him. She probably is and can't wait to give him a hug when he gets there.
I found this quote and I was just such a great quote. I'm not even sure who wrote it, but it said this: marriage is meant to keep people together, not just when things are good, but particularly when they are not. That's why we take marriage vows, not wishes. I love the end of that quote. That's why we take marriage vows and not wishes. Because if we did wishes, man, we would let each other down all the time.
Well, that's the mic drop. Yeah. Right. It's not marriage wishes. It's like, no, I'm here till death do us part. And he lived that.
She
died in his arms. And that sounds sad, but it's actually the most romantic thing on the planet to be next to a woman for 67 years. All the way till she breathed her last breath.
Right.
That's not a marriage wish. It's a vow.
And he vowed to stay with her in sickness and in health, in the good and the bad. He didn't give up and it paid off. Marriage.com says there is no such thing as a perfect marriage because it is made of imperfect people. God is the only one that is perfect, and having him in the middle of your marriage guarantees perfection in all the imperfect circumstances.
Yeah. Yep.
Again, marriage is not perfect, but God, he is the one. If he is the center of your marriage, he can guarantee perfection in all the imperfect circumstances. I look at our life, Travis, the last 31 years, imperfect circumstances, but God's been in the center and we've been able to have so many memories and just continue to fight. And man, one day we'll be looking at an empty chair.
That's hard to think of, Don, honestly, after all the years you and I have been together. But man, if it's been imperfect this last 31 years, half of the reason is because of me. I'm flawed. Well, I'm imperfect.
We're both flawed.
I have good days and Lord knows, I have bad days. And so anyway, we just want to end with this thought out of the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 10. And this nails it all. Both of these stories kind of weaves them together, binds them together. And that's this: be devoted to one another in love. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. That's what it takes to have a marriage vow.
Incredible thought.
Not some, kind of marriage wish, but no, I'm going to be devoted to you all the way to the end through the good times and the bad times.
Well, it's just crazy to sit back and think that we weren't looking for those stories. We were just honestly just being friendly, talking to people, and man, this wealth of wisdom that just flooded our hearts in those stories about marriage. And it was just such a fun thing to be a part of, such an honor. But people are amazing, and I love that they didn't give up.
They are, and just so encouraging to our marriage, to each of us individually.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, with that, we want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Loving the Fight Marriage Podcast. Remember, guys, you can do it. You got this. Keep loving the fight.
We'll see you next time.